Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on CARE Radio. Great to have you along with us. Got to thank those fantastic Sports Look sponsors. Petro Convenience Store, Exchange Bank, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Gerber Electric, and our good friends at Hamada Wealth Management. CARE Radio sports schedule, a little bit hectic, but it's that time of the year, right? Because tonight, we're going to be headed up to Amelia Earhart Stadium for a 7 o'clock kickoff, regional football. Atchison, Phoenix, hosting St. James Academy. So, football tonight. Tomorrow, we're going to have JCN and Centralia on CARE. Saturday, a triple header. Evangel at Benedictine. It is a 1 o'clock game, a battle for the championship of the Hart South Division. Then, in the evening, we've got two basketball games. The Benedictine guys will be at home at 5 with Southwestern, and the Benedictine ladies at 7 o'clock with Manhattan Christian. And then we're going to come right back on Tuesday. More Raven Hoops, BC Avila. So, a full schedule coming up. Stick with us for all of that. High school football, we mentioned that we're going to have the Phoenix, but Gus, there are other teams in the area who have moved on to regional play. It's slowly, but like it always does, very surely starting to shake out, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, and you can jump right into it. Let's go to class 5A. And the reason we're going there, the other team in the Meadowlark that's still alive, how about Sumner Academy? They're going to get the Purple Dragons of Pittsburgh coming to Kansas City on Friday night.
Yeah.
So it will be tomorrow night. You know, other games going on in 5A, Hutch and Carroll. You're going to have Emporia, who knocked off Highland Park last week. Emporia beat Highland Park 83-64.
That is the craziest football number maybe I've ever heard.
So the Spartans move up to 2-7 on the season, and they're going to get Blue Valley Southwest. Blue Valley Southwest, not a very good team either, coming into that ball game at 4-5. So 4-5 versus 2-7, somebody's going to get to the quarterfinals with a sub-500 record.
Yeah, and by the way, there are some other games, not just the Phoenix, but there are a handful of other games that will go on tonight, including DeSoto and Spring Hill, and the game you just talked about, that Emporia Blue Valley Southwest game is going to be tonight. And also, I thought there was,
maybe you go to 4A, there's a handful of them, right?
Okay.
Chanute is going to be at home with Piper. That game is this evening. Eudora and Miege are going to hold off and play tomorrow. Atchison and St. James here tonight. Lewisburg is going to be home with Aquinas tonight. That's about it for the tonight games in Class 4A. Other games that go on tomorrow in Class 4A. Wamego is going to be at home with Rose Hill. Winfield will travel to Andover Central. Arc City will be at McPherson. And then Circle will be home with Coffeyville.
Lots of good games. There's some pretty good teams. And, you know, for the most part, it seems like the higher-ranked teams are coming through, aren't they?
Yeah, and so for Atchison fan, if you're peeking forward, the winner of Atchison-St. James will get the winner of Aquinas and Lewisburg, also to be determined tonight.
Yeah.
So nobody's going to get a leg up on the opponent, right? Like, nobody's going to have one extra day of preparing. So,
you move over to Class 3A, and also a handful of games tonight, including the number one team in the state, Galena. They're going to be at home with Columbus tonight. Tonight, also, Rock Creek will host Heston. Pratt will travel to Andale tonight. You'll have Clay Center at Wichita Collegiate. Those are the games that have been moved ahead in anticipation of inclement weather tomorrow.
Yeah, and tomorrow, games going on. If you were going to the Scott City game earlier, right?
Okay, yeah.
They moved it from 7 to 6. So Scott City will host Cheney. Other games going on in Class 3A. Holton will be at home with Ward. You're going to have Girard at home with Frontenac. And Wellsville will be home with Topeka Hayden.
Yeah, so a nice group of teams. And again, you know, the Galenas and the Haydens and the Girards and the Holtons, you know, continue to march forward in the East half in Class 3A. Getting over to Class 2A, but I tell you what, there were some interesting games last week as Riley County gets by Silver Lake. What a thriller that was, 23-21. Sabetha defeating Atchison County, so those two teams will be meeting Friday night. Riley County is going to be at Sabetha. Caney will be at home with Council Grove tonight. Osage City will have Humboldt coming in, and Nemaha Central has Rossville. There's a pretty good game.
The bigger question for me is, how do you get to 23?
How do you get to 20?
Right, you know, I mean, sometimes I look at a score and I always kind of laugh to myself. Wonder how they got there, you know? Just like the Hurricanes last week getting to 14 and they didn't score a single touchdown all day, right? Like, that's one that will twist your head a little bit. But yes, I always look at scores. I think they're fun. I try to go, all right, now how do you end up with a score like that?
Yeah, I'm kind of really not sure. I don't see any breakdown of
how
that game
went.
You know,
I mean, but do you ever look at a game and say, hey, how exactly do you pull that off?
I thought we had an 11 the other day somewhere. I was thinking kind of the same thing about
it. You tell me 13 or 6, I can tell you how they got there, most likely.
Probably 9, yeah.
So
going to Class 1A, number one team in the state. St. Mary's Colgan is going to play Jayhawk Lynn tonight in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Let's see if there are other Thursday games. Yeah, you got Conway Springs at home with Plainville. Those are the only two 1A teams that have moved it up a day.
For some reason, I felt like I read that Opie had moved theirs up, but must not have.
The stuff that I see has Opie and Pleasanton still at Opie tonight, and the Trojans for Troy. They are going to be tomorrow night out on 24 at St. Mary's. So other than that, Wabunsee has Marion. Conway Springs, Plainville, Sedgwick, Smith Center, Oakley, Inman for the Western Kansas teams. Centralia, JCN. Centralia defeats McLouth, no trouble. JCN easily over Riverside. These are teams I've met a lot of times in the postseason, and it's always tough, man, to go to Centralia.
Yeah, Centralia playing good football this season. Yeah, they're undefeated right now, 9-0.
Yeah, you go 9-0, champions of the 11-man division in the Twin Valley League. And looking at their scores, they had one close game, and that was with Troy. They won 20-19 back in September.
But let's pump the brakes on champion of the 11-man portion of the TVL, right? There are four teams in it, okay? So they basically beat Troy.
They're 3-0.
Right, like you beat Troy. Onega just moved back to 8-man, so I don't count that. And Valley Heights hasn't been very productive in a while. So basically, Troy plays Centralia. The winner of that is going to be the champion. I don't care who they play the rest of the season. It's kind of how that works out, right?
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Like the TVL, that's one of those things that just kind of, I don't know, it irks me a little bit, right? Like either be 8-man, be 11-man, but don't be like, these 32 teams are going to be 8-man, and these four teams will be, you know, 11-man. I don't know. It's just one of those things that's kind of funky.
So could Centralia end up in the NEKL because they play McLouth, Pleasant Ridge, Riverside, Jackson Heights, you know. I mean, they're playing a lot of those teams already.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
And now JCN?
Big 7.
Big 7?
You know, I mean, like, they would be a little more geographically centered for the Big 7.
Maybe that.
Or to drop down to 8-man football would probably suit them the best.
Yeah, with 100 kids, they probably they would have a problem with that.
You know, I mean, I think that's kind of your problem, is you're just kind of out there in no man's land, and, you know.
So all we can suggest is, hey, get your calendars out, go to mscsports.net, find those schedules, pick your team, follow them, and enjoy some high school regional playoffs in the state of Kansas this weekend. We'll be back talking college football right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on KIT Radio. Last Saturday, it was homecoming up at Wilcox Stadium for the Benedictine Ravens playing a team that always, always, always provides a good game, no matter what their record may be, the Baker Wildcats. And Benedictine jumps out to a nice 2-touchdown lead. Looks like it's going to be a big day. Then suddenly, you find Baker scoring 20 unanswered points, and the Ravens have to score late to secure a thrilling come-from-behind win.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of sums it up, right? Like, the Ravens jump out to a lead, and then what have we talked about? Two of the biggest problems for this team has been this year, penalties and turnovers. Well, penalties really weren't much of an issue on Saturday afternoon. I mean, Benedictum was able to keep it to 5 for 73. So, again, for this team, you try to just keep it under that 100-yard mark. I mean, and that was fine. But turnovers. You had two fumbles. You lost one of them. You threw two interceptions. I mean, you can't play a good team and turn the ball over three times. And that's what they did. And give Baker a lot of credit because their quarterback threw less than 50%. He was threw for 143 yards and only one passing touchdown. I mean, he didn't do anything to win this game. And at the end of the day, Benedictine just tried to find a way to give it away to a Baker team on Saturday. And when it came down to it and it was crunch time and you had to score, what'd they do? They marched right down the field, picked up a big third down, and then punch the ball into the end zone and take the lead and walk away with the win.
Yeah, it was an exciting win for the crowd, but an unnerving crowd or unnerving win, I thought, for a lot of us who were, you know, very concerned, you know, for a little bit of time because the Ravens, after scoring two first quarter touchdowns, didn't score again until 2:14 left in the game. I mean, they went three quarters of a game without putting anything on the board.
Do you remember back in 2018, Benedictine made it to Daytona, right?
Yes.
They were the number one team in the country when it came to converting on third downs, right? The Kansas City Chiefs have been one of the top two teams in the NFL this season on converting on third downs. It's really important to convert on third downs. You keep drives alive. You know, you take the pressure off your defense. Saturday, Benedictine. 3 of 10 on third downs, right?
Yeah.
So you went 3 of 10 on third downs. You had all the turnovers. I mean, like, those all add up to you should probably have lost that game. But, again, when you needed it, it seemed like all of a sudden everything just kind of came back together and they figured it out and came away with the win. And this is the kind of game we haven't seen this team play this year, which is a close game. And they've only done it twice this year. They lost the other one to Grandview. So it was nice to see them play a close game and be able to find a way to win it at the end.
And yet, and it pains me to even do this, but I've got to give Baker some credit. Their game plan was genius. They had the ball more than twice the amount of time that Benedictine had the football. The time of possession was dominant. Ravens had 54 plays. Baker had 75 plays. I mean, they put together a ground game that consumed a lot of time. You keep the ball out of the hands of Garrett Kittle and Javon and Gathright and all of those guys, and suddenly you're depending on the defense to have to do some things.
Baker rushed the ball 46 times, okay?
Yes.
46 rushing plays. That's only 8 fewer plays than Benedictine had total on the afternoon, right? Like, and you want to find a way that if you're going to play a team that's just much better than you and you're trying to find a way to win or try to hold on, that's the recipe, okay? Like, keep the ball away from their offense, and that's what Baker tried to do. But in the end, like I said, you know, they were able to come away with the big plays when they needed them at the end. Colin Payne, how about that? One catch, 14 yards, and it came on like, what, a 3rd and 13.
And a crazy catch.
And an incredible
a circus catch.
It looked like it was just a throwaway pass, and just out of nowhere, he jumps up, steals it away, and BC comes away with the win. You know, for BC, 3 of 3 on extra points. You kind of like that. You didn't kick any field goals. And for Baker, they're going to lean back and say, our kicker went 2 of 3 on field goals. Coming in the game, he was 1 of 5. He knocked in both of his PATs. Like, he did just about everything he could have done.
Yeah. And so when it's said and done, Benedictine, 3-0 in the division. Also, Evangel coming in at 3-0. Maybe the surprise team in the conference right now. Everybody thought, you know, that Granby would be good and that Benedictine would be good. Didn't expect a lot from a lot of other teams. But right now, Evangel, even though they could, we don't even say it, win the South and not make the playoffs because they're not going to be ranked enough to get there. But Evangel, a very worthy opponent, and the Ravens, and there will be people, and I've heard it, people say, hey, they took Baker a little bit lightly last week. I'm not sure that really was the case. I don't think it was myself, but you must not do that to a Baker last week. Certainly must not do that to an Evangel Saturday.
Yeah, and Evangel is a team who over the years has caused you some problems, right? How many times have we gone down to, I don't know, rarely Springfield, but, you know, Nixa or Ozark or, you know, wherever.
Even at JFK Stadium.
Wherever they want to play. Yeah. I mean, it feels like Evangel has caused Benedictine some grief over the years, and they always play well. They're very tough, always on defense, and in the past they've had some good offenses. So, again, this is an Evangel team that you can't overlook. You can't start to peek to what the playoffs look like, because without a win here, I still think you probably make the playoffs as an at-large team, but you don't want to have to test those waters.
Yeah.
I mean, last thing you want to do is go to Sioux City on week one.
And with that in mind, a quick look at the newest national polls. There are only three undefeated teams left in the nation. Morningside, who's number one at 8-0, Grandview, number two at 9-0, Bethel, Tennessee, number four at 9-0. Northwestern slides in at number three, and their 7-1 record is because they lost a really tough game to Morningside. At number five is Indiana Wesleyan, 7-1, and at number six, Benedictine, 8-1. The Ravens move up another notch, and Gus, they have a chance to maybe move up one more.
Yeah, they've got a shot to move up. You know, there are some games coming up here at the end of the season with some, you know, big implications. But again, for Benedictine right now, it's kind of nice because what happens in front of you is, you know, whatever. I mean, but at this point, you control your own destiny. You're not sitting there going, okay, I need X to lose and Y to lose. I mean, that's not it right now. So, again, right now the Ravens kind of sitting where they want to be.
The people who are thinking about that are like Southwestern Kansas. They're number 10 right now.
Okay, so the KCAC is a disaster.
Yeah.
You have Southwestern, you have Avila, and you have somebody else. Bethel?
KW.
Okay, KW.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I saw somewhere that Avila holds the tiebreaker, so they're going to be the conference champion.
And right now they are number 17.
Right, so they're going to get in because they're inside the top 20 as long as they don't stumble in the last 2 weeks. But
right.
I think they have like St. Mary's and somebody.
So Southwestern is number 10, so they're probably going to get in if they don't do anything wrong.
Yeah, so KW is kind of the team right now in the bubble looking in,
yeah.
You know, kind of. But here's the other team. You want to talk about a team that's going to rain on everybody's parade? Kaiser.
Yep.
Because Kaiser is what, 16?
They are 14 now.
Okay, 14. It doesn't matter. They're in. They're going to be a conference champion. They have two games left against sub-500 teams. I get it. Anything could happen from here on out, but the way they run the football, I don't want to take my chances against a team like Kaiser right now. They're going to be in, and they are going to snake somebody at the end of this.
So, should we pack our bag for Fort Lauderdale?
I think if you're in Fort Lauderdale, you might as well pack your bag for Atchison, right?
Maybe. I think that's
probably more like
not week, not game one, but maybe.
I wouldn't be shocked, and we'll be able to gaze into the crystal ball next week if Benedictine pulls off a win, and you know they should against Evangel, but we'll get a better idea of what you're maybe looking at for the playoffs. Again, wouldn't be shocked if like a team from Avila comes to Atchison. Games going on around the conference this weekend. There is a noon game. Everything else is 1 o'clock. All is right in the world. The noon game will be Missouri Valley at Mid-America. The 1 o'clock games will feature a game that, if you told me this on August 30th, I'd have said, oh, that's probably going to be a good game.
It's not.
But today, I don't think so. Grandview will be at Culver Stockton will be at Grandview. That kind of threw me for a second. Clark is going to go to William Penn. Central Methodist will be at Baker. Last year, that had a lot of implications. This year, it's, you know, just pack up the jerseys and put them away nicely. You're going to have Peru State and Graceland, and then Evangel Benedictine.
Interesting week. And, again, for this conference, two teams in the postseason. Boom.
Yeah. Is it hard to believe we're already here? We're down to the final two?
We are in week 10.
I was talking to somebody. Do we really change the clocks already this weekend?
This weekend, yes.
Wow. For the last time.
Move it.
For the last time.
Never again.
I was going to say,
hey, stick around. We're going to talk to Ryan Moody for a little bit. Then we're going to be back with more Sports Look fun stuff right after this. We're joined by Ryan Moody, Benedictine men's head basketball coach. Coach, football going on today, but basketball is going to be here like in a minute.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I think today or yesterday was our 20th practice of the year. And we are excited to play somebody else, Tom. We've been beating up on each other for almost a month. And we're excited for football today against Baker, of course. But we open Wednesday at home against Haskell, and we're ready to play.
Well, we got a chance to pop up to the gym a couple of nights ago and watch you with a little scrimmage as you had Highland in town. And tell you what, you might need a program.
Yeah, that's a good comment there. A lot of new faces, Tom. We added 9 new players. We had 2 redshirts last year that didn't play, of course, but, you know, so people kind of knew them but never saw them. So essentially 11 new faces. And we've had 2 opportunities to play kind of outside competition at this point. We had an exhibition at Missouri Western about a week and a half ago, and then we had the scrimmage against Highland the other night. And we're, you know, I mean, like I guess probably every coach in America is saying right now, we're a work in progress. But, gosh, I'll tell you what, I really like this group. It's been very refreshing with a lot of new guys. We've had to kind of go almost very back to the basics as a coaching staff and reteach things that maybe we haven't had to teach in 3 to 4 years with the experienced group that we've had and that graduated. And it's been great. I mean, we're just, you know, getting back to kind of who we are and really defending. This group is fast. This group is long. We're kind of trying to still figure out kind of who we are offensively. You know, the last 3 or 4 years, we relied on the 3-point shot a lot with Eric Cruz and Matt Austin and Chris Jackson, guys like that. Like, it could really shoot it. This group is a lot bigger and longer, and I think we can score, you know, a lot more closer to the basket, but you still have to sprinkle in that 3. So it's just been really fun. I love this group. They play super hard, and I think we can really, really defend. And then we're just kind of, you know, working out the kinks on offense. And I think there's a lot of positivity around this group. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is I think we're going to get better. We've gotten better almost every single day as we've gone through the fall. And I think you're going to see that through this season too. As this team plays more and more, as a group, they're going to continue to get better. Just adding experience, adding game minutes to this group is going to be really important.
When you look at it, the bunch, the thing that I immediately see is while they're new guys, you do bring back a nucleus of fellows who have great leadership ability, and you're going to be leaning on them to kind of, you know, guide the ship a little bit, particularly early in the year. And I'm talking particularly about, of course, Timmy, you know, and Tyson.
Yeah, no question, Tom. In fact, that's a great point. Yeah, the other day we had a film session after the Highland scrimmage, and we started it off with, you know, our toughness, our leadership, kind of our, let's just say our everything starts with those guys, you know. And it's not just Temi and Tyson. It's Hunter Schneider, fifth-year guy. Joel Adize, fifth-year guy. Jake Thompson, fifth-year guy. You know, like those 5 guys have been in our program literally for 5 years. And whether they've got a ton of game minutes or not, they know exactly how we want to do things. They understand our culture. They know what it takes. They've seen what it takes to win. They know how hard you have to play. They know how the attention to detail that has to be there. And then they also know how you have to hold your teammates accountable and the leadership component that you're talking about. It's all gonna start. It's all gonna end with them. And I'll be, you know, completely honest. Like, they've stepped up. I'm impressed. I mean, they are really dialed in. I think they think it's their turn, and I know they know that the, kind of the expectations of our program and where we're at, and it's been fun to watch, you know, and I think those young guys have really followed suit too. They're kind of getting in line and doing these things, and culture wise right now, you know, and I know that's kind of a coaching cliche. Everybody throws that word around, but it is a real thing, and kind of what your team's like and what their personality is. And our culture of our team is really strong. It's in a really good place. They're loud. They're together. They're positive. They pick each other up. They challenge each other. It's been a fun month of October getting ready to play.
Before we talk about some of the guys who I was very impressed with in your scrimmage the other night, we probably need to talk about some of the unsung guys. And you mentioned maybe a couple of them, and there are on every basketball team, guys who contribute to the success of a program and may not be on the floor or may seldom be on the floor, or guys whose names don't come trippingly to your tongue, and yet their value to these teams is beyond measure.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, and I think anybody that's ever been on a team, you know, understands that and knows those guys. Glue guys, right? I mean, they don't – maybe they're not in the stats or maybe they are, but either way, there's a few guys that kind of glue your team together. And I think for us, without a doubt, the two that stand out to me, and there's probably more than this, so I feel bad, you know, leaving guys out, but the two that stand out to me are Hunter Schneider and Ahmad Lewis. Hunter Schneider is a fifth-year guy, 6'8", 250 pounds, you know, big man, and is the best teammate we've probably ever had. I mean, like, completely cheers for everybody, every play, always picking people up. He has done a great job with our young guys because oftentimes he's kind of on that team with some of these new guys in practice and holding them accountable or picking them up and coaching them up. He's amazing. And has played, you know, I mean, if we're being honest, limited minutes, and is just a great fit for Benedictine College and our program. And the other guy, Ahmad Lewis, we brought in as a transfer from Washburn after his redshirt year there. We recruited him out of high school. He's now in his fourth year in college, third year here. And he is just like one of the most energetic, loud, constantly chirping guys that we've ever had in the program. And, you know, he'll probably start at the wing to start the year and has earned his stripes and a chance to get out on the floor, but another guy who, like, just brings energy to the gym every day. And those are two guys that, you know, I'm sure people have seen them and know them, but they haven't, you know, necessarily been out there making plays a whole lot over the last couple of years, but they're a huge part of what we do. And I think those are great glue guys.
When we get ready to talk about some of the new faces that we're going to see, you have a lot to choose from, because I looked on the thing and I had to take off my shoes and I had to count to 18 guys suited up. Is that right?
Yeah, it's actually 19 if you add we have Bense Duca, who's a dual football basketball guy. And so he's not necessarily at every basketball practice this time of year. He's a Hungarian resident and I guess an international student. But anyway, yeah, so we have a big roster. You know, Tom, people have asked me about that, and I'm like, my best answer is, you know, we offer scholarships to guys that we want and to guys that we think are a great fit for our program and a great fit for Benedictine College. We never really assume that all of those guys are going to say yes. You know, recruiting is competitive. Recruiting is a hard thing. There's a lot of kids have a lot of options and they're looking for things, and, you know, other staffs are doing a great job and all that good stuff. But this year, you know, we found guys we liked. We made offers and they all came, and we're not going to say no. You know, I mean, we're not going to turn guys away that we think are a great fit. And so we're probably going to end up redshirting a couple guys with eight freshmen and one transfer, but we sure like them. They've added, they're just really talented and they're fast and we're bigger and we're excited about the future. We're excited about this year. So it's going to be fun.
You talk about the returning guys, and when you kind of look out on the floor, the guys who we recognize and we've been seeing out there are kind of in that, you know, play that 3-4-5. So the replacements are coming at the top of all of this. You know, your 1-2-3 maybe. Might talk about some of those, because I see some young guys out there at the top the other night that I was absolutely impressed with.
Yeah, you noticed right. So the point guard position, you know, that's been a – this will be my 12th year here now, Tom, which we're, man, time flies, huh?
But it gets away, Coach.
It does, right? And, you know, we had John Harris for essentially 4 years as a point guard, and then we had Jaden Bristol for essentially 5 years as a point guard. And so we've had a very consistent point guard position for 9 out of the last 11 years. And so our focus in recruiting this year was to find the next guy or guys to be that person. And I think we hit a home run. Sam Ungashek is a young man, a freshman from Blue Valley West High School in Kansas City. And he is fast. He's strong. He's athletic, understands the game, is a coach on the floor. You know, he's young. He's going to make a few mistakes, I think, in his freshman year, but man, he just gets after it. And, he'll probably start for us right now. And then his backup is a young man named Messiah Stockery. We call him Doc. He's from Park Hill South High School in Kansas City, and There is not much drop off between those two guys. In fact, I don't know if there's any. They're very similar players, and so we've got, I think, the two guys that can kind of, you know, we've kind of been point guard college over the last couple of years, and I think those two guys are very dialed into what we do and are going to be great. And then at the two and the three, you know, I mentioned Ahmad. He's probably going to start at the wing for us and a whole lot, but he brings just some toughness and some defensiveness. And then Braden Belt, man, I think people are really, really going to like Braden Belt. Braden's been kind of waiting his turn. He's been in our program for a couple years. Those guys using their COVID year last year kind of hurt Braden's chance to play and his development. But this is a kid who averaged almost 20 points a game for Andel High School in outside of Wichita when they won a state title a couple years ago. And he can flat out score and knows how to play. And so, you know, coming off the bench, we've got a couple of young men. Well, first of all, I'll start with an old guy, Jake Thompson from Rockhurst High School. Jake's in his fifth year for us, has waited his turn to get a chance to play the guard spot, can really shoot it, good leader, has really become a strong, better athlete over his 4 or 5 years and can really sit down and defend too. And then a couple of young guys that are going to come off the bench, probably, you know, I think Preston Reynolds is somebody that everybody needs to kind of get to know his name. Preston attended Shawnee Mission East High School. He redshirted for us last year. Preston is a 6'5", you know, I say this, you know, kind of chiseled out of rock with his body, strong, athletic, long, fast athlete. And when he gets it going, he's really good in transition. He's really good around the rim. He's really good going and getting rebounds. He can sit down and defend all five positions because he's strong enough and fast enough. He gives us something we haven't had at that athletic position. And, you know, there's a few other young guys that I think will play. Bryson LaRue, Sebastian Ham, Dallas Whitney. I mean, we just love the youth in the program. And like I said, I think it's going to kind of be a work in progress because with youth, you know, you have to learn through mistakes a little bit. But man, they can really play. So we're excited.
At the end of your scrimmage the other night, you put together just a short, I'm going to call it, for lack of a better descriptive term, a little JV scrimmage, you know, also. And from that, I learned, I think, a couple of things. Number one, I learned that this team is cohesive and tight because those guys who were not out there were thrilled with the guys on the floor. They were cheering. They were close-knit. I mean, they were pulling for one another. And I see guys who are going to be, I mean, if we're talking 18, 19 guys who are going to be from 12 to 19, who could play for a lot of schools.
Yeah, that's a really good observation on your part. I mean, I think this is the deepest team we've ever had, Tom. And like I said, we're young, you know, so there's a lot of youth there, but we have a lot of talent and we have a lot of athleticism. I mean, Jack Vanderwood, he played in that scrimmage, and you know, he's out of Virginia, left-handed sniper. I mean, 6'4", maybe one of the best shooters I've ever coached, and that's, I mean, I've coached for a long time, Tom. We've had Thomas O'Connor. We've had Brett Fisher. I mean, we've had guys like that, and Jack, as a freshman, it is looking like those guys, you know, and he's got to learn to sit down and guard a little bit. He's got to get stronger and some other things, but, you know, like, there's so much depth of talent on this team. And that's what I mean by we're probably going to have to redshirt a couple of guys, kind of space out this class because it doesn't make any sense, you know, for these guys to duke it out for minutes and maybe burn a year by playing too many games, things like that this year. So I think we will make some decisions over the next couple of weeks. But to your point about the cohesiveness, no doubt. I mean, I actually, Tom, so our listening audience understands you were at that scrimmage and you sent me a text the next day about that and about, you know, the cohesiveness and you saw how together they were. And I read that to the team in our film session and you're right. And that's something I think that starts in recruiting, to be honest with you. I mean, we focus on really four things and it's high character, academically driven, talented, and then the last one's competitive toughness. And if you have those four things, you're a great fit for our program. And so we spend a lot of time trying to figure that out. And when we add those guys to the room, it makes that group better. And I think that's what we've done with this class because, you know, our older guys are supportive of the younger guys. The younger guys are supportive of the older guys. And it's just a really good culture right now. Does that mean that you're going to have a, you know, 25, 28 win season? No, but it means that you're going to be able to battle through the good and the bad together and figure out ways to solve problems and to withstand adversity. And I think that's what we're here for, right? That's why we're playing this game, is to kind of teach these young men how to do that. And we've just got, we've got some great personalities and some great toughness. And like you said, the culture, the cohesiveness, the support of each other is really high. I don't think, I mean, it won't waver. I mean, this group's just too tight, and they'll battle together. And it's, I appreciate you noticing that. And I think that's 2 years. Probably what is it, 40 plus years of watching basketball, you know, you've got a good eye for that stuff, and this group's got it together.
Well, another thing that I've grown to appreciate over the years is great defense, and I was really impressed with early season defense. It took a junior college who, let's be honest, JUCOs are, they're used to kind of the run gun, have fun kind of guys who are throwing it up and getting a lot of points. You kept a really good JUCO team in the 50s.
Yeah. I will say I think our defense is ahead of where we usually are at this point, and I think that's really a direct result, or whatever the phrase is there, of just want to. I mean, these guys sit down. I was telling our staff, we were watching film the other day of practice and then a couple of these two scrimmages and kind of combining some things, and I mean, all five guys sit down in a stance. All five guys are moving at the same time. They're boxing out. They're challenging. I mean, there's a want to out of this group to kind of make it hard on you. It reminds me a lot of, you know, this goes back a ways, but like 13-14, 14-15 with Anaquay and Fisher and Harris. I mean, we those guys would sit down and just make it so hard for you to score and to do what you want. And I really think that's what this group is. I think that's probably where we're going to have to hang our hat, at least early in the season, is defensively, because we're still trying to figure some things out offensively. And what I mean by that is, you know, we lost so much score. We lost 7 of our top 8 scorers from the last couple of years. We lost 4 starters, 3,000 point scorers. And I'm that's just, I mean, those guys were great. I love them. And it's time, right? I mean, this is how college works. They can't stay forever. But where we're at is we have a ton of talent, but we just don't know our roles. You know, some guys, like, how often do I shoot? You know, I mean, when do I shoot? How aggressive should I be? Because they haven't been in those kind of alpha roles in their career. And we're literally, like I told them yesterday after practice, Tom, and I know you asked about defense, but offense is on my mind. After practice, I said, guys, like, if somebody came into our practice, they would be blown away by ball movement. I mean, we move the ball side to side. We throw it inside out. Like, I mean, but all of a sudden, then it's at like 8 seconds on the shot clock and we haven't gotten anything because we're not aggressive enough, you know, or even a little selfish enough for somebody to go make a play. And so I think that's where our biggest growth is going to be early in the season, is like getting each other easy shots or getting each other open looks, because we're almost so unselfish and we don't know our roles and how much to be aggressive yet. And that's been a work in progress. I mean, you know, I say it and I hate to keep going, but we literally could play 10 today. I mean, we could start any one of 10, I think, today. And that's a really, really good thing, and it sometimes is a difficult thing for a staff to figure out how to fit those pieces together to make sure that you've got the best team offensively and defensively on the floor for that night. And we're working through that right now. It's an exciting problem, for sure. It's fun.
Well, Coach, we've, I think, whetted the appetite of Raven basketball fans enough. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that here on CARE, we've got 3 of your games coming up in the next, you know, 10 or 12 or 8 or 10 days, or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm thankful that you guys are going to be on the call. We're at home this Wednesday, November 2nd, against Haskell Indian Nations. They're scoring. They've already had 2 games. They're scoring the heck out of the ball, so that'll be a challenge. They're averaging 85, I think, right now after 2 games. And that's Cougar Downing, local Ashton guy, is the head coach down there. And then we followed up with the number 14 team in the country, Southwestern, out of the KCAC. They are loaded. They're a national tournament team from last year. They're experienced. They're old. It's going to be a great challenge for us at home on November, I believe that's the Saturday after that, so I think that's the 5th at 5 o'clock. There's a football game that day. There's a men's basketball game at 5, and there's a girls' basketball game right after us. And we're looking forward to a great day of Raven Athletics on that Saturday, the 5th. And then we come back with another home game on Tuesday the 8th against Avila out of Kansas City, another KCAC team that's played well up to this point and is very athletic and probably has a little bit more experience than us. So, you know, it's a gauntlet to start, no doubt, and we're excited for it. But we just need this team time to get out there and play. I mean, that's the reality of it. Like, I think our best learning, our best growth, our chance to get better is to play somebody else and to get out there in actual game minutes. And this group's going to be fun. So anybody that's a regular fan and a loyal year in and year out, you're really going to like these guys. If you haven't seen us play before, or if you haven't been in the gym a lot, I think if you wanted to get started, this is a great group to get started with and have your kids come out and watch, because we have great people in our program, and two, they're going to be really fun to watch, and they will make this place proud. You know, once again, learning curve up and down maybe a little bit to start, but man, as we get better, I think the sky's the limit for this team.
Ryan Moody, head coach of the Benedictine Men. Appreciate your time, man, and best of luck to you guys. We look forward to being with you next Wednesday already. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom. Can I steal like 20 extra seconds?
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, it would be remiss if I did not congratulate you on tonight. We get into the Hall of Fame banquet at Benedictine College, and I don't know. You're gonna have to tell me how many years you've been calling Raven games, but you know, better late than never. And that's honestly what I believe. I believe that this is a well-deserved recognition. You have been one of the you've been a friend of mine for I think over 30 years now. We played in the early 90s, and I tell people this story all the time. And I remember flying home from a game with you and Matt Westerhaus from Northwest Missouri State one time, and in your little plane a long time ago, and you've always been there. You're at every game. You're constant supporter and loyal Raven basketball fan. I know it's not just basketball, but that's the world I live in. And I am so happy for you that you are finally going into our Hall of Fame. It's a little late, but it's very well deserved. And I just think that I think the world of you and what you do for Benedictine. And I think this is awesome. I'm really happy for you.
Good to have you back with us here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison High School Football. Coming up here on K-Radio at 7 o'clock with Atchison High School and St. James Academy. Because Kansas City Chiefs, they've been napping, sleeping in late, you know, maybe playing a little golf. Travis Kelce went to his brother play.
Adding game-changing speed type wide receivers.
Yeah, let's talk about that. The Chiefs coming off a bye week. But it wasn't like they all just sat around because the front office did make a change, but did they help themselves?
I don't know. Kadarius Toney is a game-changer speed guy, right? Like, he's fast, he's agile. If he can stay healthy, he could be a menace, right?
Okay, but is McCole Hardman, is he mad about this?
Maybe a little bit.
I would be.
But I think that it comes down to McCole's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. And I just think that he's going to get a lot of money in the...
Do you think so? His numbers don't make that.
Doesn't matter. I mean, have you seen what the wide receivers are getting?
I know.
It's ridiculous.
Crazy. Yeah.
And so I think that they kind of look in. They realize that they can't probably sign him back. I think they'll actually try. But yeah, get a guy like Kadarius Toney on a... You know, still a lot of time left on his contract. And so you're going to look at that and you're going to say, all right, here's a chance to add a guy. Maybe he doesn't do much for me the rest of the season. He'll probably return punts, which a lot of Chiefs fans would be happy about.
I would be one of those. Yeah.
And I heard Dave Tobe talking about, you know, that Kadarius Toney's got a shot to maybe return some kicks and some punts because, again...
Would he be down with that? Is he like doing that?
Yeah. I mean, that's what he did well at Florida. So why not? And so I think that he'll be a guy, maybe you see him five plays, okay. I think is the over-under for Sunday.
If they brought him in to be their kick returner, suddenly I'm extremely good with that hire.
Yeah, I mean, you found a spot for him, and you're going to ease him into the offense. Here's the other advantage coming from the Giants, where Kafka was the offensive coordinator. Some of the language is probably the same, even though the plays aren't exactly. At least he can go in for a few plays. Don't expect him to be Christian McCaffrey and come in and play 20 plays on night one.
Throw, catch, and run for a touchdown.
Yeah, I think that, exactly. I think that, though, against the Giants, you know, you're over-under for actual offensive plays, 5, right? And I think he'll be, like, right at it.
Well, the Chiefs are going to be tested again by a team that seems to have their number. Titans, Titans just, I don't know what it is about them. Every team seems to have that kryptonite, and for Kansas City, it's Tennessee.
It's either Tennessee or Indianapolis, right? It's always those two teams. So, again, if Kansas City doesn't win this game Sunday, I don't think that the sky is falling. I just wouldn't be shocked at all by it. It is Sunday night. Andy Reid is exceptional coming off of the bye, so I think both of those things add up. But, again, if the Chiefs don't tackle King Henry, they're going to be in real trouble because, what, Derek went off for over 200 yards the other day, had a couple touchdowns. I mean,
but they don't have Chris, but Chris is not a running game threat anyway.
Yeah, or Frank. Yeah.
Frank, rather.
Yeah, Frank's going to be out this week, so you're okay with that, but Chris Jones will still be in there. I think that, you know, Nick Bolton, your middle linebacker, is going to love a game like this. He likes to just go downhill and hit people, so I think that, you know, the Chiefs' defense is a little more geared towards a guy who likes to run downhill.
So Titans and Chiefs, Sunday night football.
How the heck is the over-under 12 and, or I mean, not the over-under, but the spread, 12 and a half?
That's huge.
That's huge.
That's a fat number out there. Same kind of number, though, is the Bills are at the Jets Sunday. Buffalo, a 12.5-point favorite in that one. But I understand that, although I'm still pulling for the Jets.
Yeah, I think the Jets could win this game.
You know how long I've been a Jets guy?
Yeah, I think the Jets could win this game. But I also laugh that the over-unders have come back down to earth a little bit. Like, 2 weeks ago, this thing would have been closer to
55.
Yep. Yeah. And now they've all come down to 46, 47. I think this could be a little more competitive game. Of course, I think the Bills win, but I do think that the Jets will play them closer than 12.5.
Seahawks and Cardinals Sunday afternoon. That's going to be, I don't think that's a particularly good game. It doesn't do anything for me. Rams Buccaneers does a little more.
Yeah.
It's 3 o'clock Sunday.
And what's crazy is neither of those teams are great this year, right? The Rams are down. The Buccaneers have been bad. What? Brady's lost 4 in a row, right? For the first time since a long time. But somehow Tampa's a 3-point favorite. I think the Rams win that thing.
Monday Night Football has the Ravens at the Saints. And tonight, okay, how about that game tonight, right? We've got Houston at home. Is that right?
Yeah, Houston is going to be at home with what's funny is the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
Yeah.
Philly and Houston. It feels like there's some something going
on
here.
Back.
So, those two are going to play tonight. I don't know. I think that if the Eagles are going to lose, they could be right for
Here's
the picking
your upset
right
special
here.
For
right,
me.
It's in Houston. There's a chance for that. Moving to Saturday football, Kansas going to be at home 2:30 kickoff on Saturday with number 18 Oklahoma State, who got thumped by Kansas State over the weekend.
Yeah, so why is Oklahoma State only 1.5-point favorite? You would think that they would be coming into Lawrence and to get an unranked team and on the road and looking to take it out on somebody.
A little surprised Vegas even has a line on this game.
Incredible.
Why? Because there's some rumors that Jalen Daniels has been practicing this week and might just make his return to the field at quarterback for Kansas this week.
So, it would be a difference maker.
I think that that's why everybody's just kind of staying away from it. I mean, when you see a game like that where Oklahoma should just, like, trounce Kansas, then you only see a 1.5-point spread. It's because everybody's scared that there's information out there. They're just not sure what it is. And I think that it probably is Jalen Daniels is going to play this game.
Kansas State red hot up to number 13 in the newest poll, and they're going to be hosting Texas, who's number 24. And yet, Texas is favored in this game.
Don't get that, because Kansas State has had Oklahoma and Texas's number for a long time, right? Like, no matter how good Texas or Oklahoma are, Kansas State has always been able to beat them. I don't think the Wildcats have any issues on Saturday night at home with the 6 p.m. game against Texas. I don't know. As much as I hate to say it, Cats by 10?
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah. Also, Saturday night, it'll be number 4 Clemson at Notre Dame. You know, that's popular only because Clemson is good and Notre Dame's always on TV, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Alabama goes to LSU in a battle of number 6 at number 10 Saturday night. And, of course, the game with the national focus, this is huge. I mean, they would love to have this as a huge bowl game, and maybe it's the rematch of a bowl game coming up. Number 1, Tennessee. Number 3, Georgia. Wow.
Yeah, and somehow Uga's over a touchdown favorite in that thing. I don't know. Tennessee, every time I watch them, all they do is win.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it doesn't look pretty at times, but they find ways to win.
I'll ask Peyton Manning after a while. What do you think?
I think this one will be good. I do think, though, Saturday night, 6 p.m., Death Valley will be rocking when Alabama gets in there. That thing should be crazy.
Could LSU win it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, by the way, you did mention the World Series, and there was history written last night. It wasn't a one-man job. They did it by committee, but a no-hitter was thrown.
Yeah, and I heard somebody today talking about how historic it was, and then another TV personality jumped in and said, okay, but it's not a perfect game,
no.
And it's not one guy that
no.
did it, okay?
It's not Don Larson, baby.
Right. Like, it's special, it's something to be
oh, yeah.
talked about,
yeah.
but let's put it in perspective that it took, what, four guys to do it? Okay, four guys to do it, and it wasn't a perfect game, so yes, it's not quite what Don Larson did, but it's pretty cool.
It is kind of cool, and that World Series is pretty good. 2-2 right now, going to Game 5 tonight in Philadelphia.
And Saturday, if you just need something to put you to sleep, uh-huh. Saturday night, 6:30,
yeah.
Miami, home with Florida State.
Oh!
Yikes.
That's not so bad. Hey, well, I tell you what, that might put you to sleep, but if you want to stay excited, just tune into KR Radio every day. There are games, every evening of games. Tonight, Atchison hosting St. James at 7. Tomorrow night, JCN Centralia. Saturday, now let's follow this, triple dip. 1 o'clock, Benedictine football against Evangel at Wilcox Stadium. That's at 1. KR Radio pregame at 12:30. Then we're going to hustle down to the Nolan. The Benedictine men will be playing first against Southwestern at 5, followed by the Benedictine women hosting Manhattan Christian at 7. Last year, the Lady Ravens hung 117 on them. And Tuesday, we got Benedictine guys with Avila. Hey, we want to thank you for having joined us. Really want to thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, Petro Convenience Store, our Sport Look sponsors. Till we greet you from Amelia Earhart Stadium here before long, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.